If you have your Bibles, turn over to the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. And I want to share with you this morning. I may not be as in detail as I would have been otherwise, but I do want to share with you what God has put in our heart, written for our admonition. The book of Romans, chapter 15, says something along those lines. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." I looked up admonition, and it means to call attention to. Not, listen to this now. It says a mild rebuke or warning. That's what it means to be admonished, a mild rebuke or warning. I believe with all of my heart, I've said this for years, and I believe it to be the truth. There are mega churches in the land where there's never a warning sound. Hell is never preached on. It's never preached that you must be born again. It's never preached that Jesus is the only way of salvation. And beloved, I believe with all my heart this morning that God loves us every once in a while. He loves us so much that he's willing to admonish us through his word. The Bible is teaching here about aforetime. And so Malachi is written during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, about 445 years before Christ ever came on the scene. And so what we're looking at this morning is something that was written aforetime, but was written for our learning, written for our admonition. You've got people, listen to me, that are so dogmatic that they'll say things like this: "Leave that Old Testament alone." Beloved, the Scripture does not teach that. It teaches that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I don't believe it's right to set aside the Old Testament. I believe it's right not to go over there to build church doctrine, but to go over there and learn, amen, and be admonished by what has went on in the lives of the children of Israel. Let's look at this chapter, and I want to show you, I think, 5 things this morning, and I'll be as quickly and quick and brief as I possibly can. He said in verse number 1, I send my messenger, he'll prepare thy way. If you go down to verse number 2, he said, who shall abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. The first thing I want us to learn about, beloved, in this chapter that's going on among the sons of Levi and the children of Israel is a refining process. That's what God is telling us here. I'm thinking about a new year. God, we're facing a new year. Can I tell you this? Some of us that are in this building, the heat's going to be turned up in our lives. There are Christians around the world today that are being persecuted. And I'm telling you, beloved, the heat is being turned up. I don't know how long we're going to make it in America before the heat is turned up on the church. And God is going to be separating the dross, amen, from that that's real. But I know this, in my life, whether we're persecuted or not this year, I'm constantly in a refining process. God saved me that night over 30 years ago. He began a work. He's continuing that work. And if I live through this year, 2019, he will continue that work in my life. A refining process. What he's doing is making me more and more and more like Jesus, until ultimately I am just like Jesus when I have that glorified body and stand in his presence. The word of God said here he would sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. In Psalm 66, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net." I read that and I had missed this. Listen, there's another text in the book of Deuteronomy. It said he brought us out from thence, talking about bringing us out of Egypt, that he might bring us in. But here the word of God said he brought us into the net. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. Now, sometimes we get tangled up in some things and we wonder, how in the world did we get here? And it's just a part of the refining process in the child of God's life. God is making us more like his son. The Bible said, as silver's tried, thou broughtest us into the net, laid affliction upon our loins. That's foreign to a lot of people, amen? They say, well, if you're saved and you serve God, it's all going to go well. You're going to drive the nicest car, live in the nicest house. You'll always be healthy. There's nothing wrong with praying for that. I'm talking about the book, I believe it was 2 John, that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. There's nothing wrong with praying that way. But we have a Bible that shows us that many of God's men, many of God's women, beloved in the Word of God, suffered for Christ's sake. Amen. And we're living in that generation, beloved, where there's a refining process going on. And if you're not careful in that refining process, listen to me carefully. Listen, it ought to make you a better person, but if you're not careful and you get in the flesh and you refuse to see the hand of God at work in your life, it'll make you a bitter person. Are you listening to me this morning? And God wants to make us better. He wants to make us more like Jesus. More of his saving fullness, see? More of the one who died for me. That's what he wants to do in our lives. And so there's a refining process that I see that's written for our admonition. And then I see a reproved people. Look in verse number 5. He said, I'm going to come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift, a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. There's a people that's being reproved in this passage of Scripture. We're living in a generation that doesn't want any of that. Paul told Timothy, the young preacher, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We're living in a generation that says exhort, exhort, exhort. I'm telling you, beloved, you'll never read the Bible all the way through without being reproved. Somebody help me, amen. The word of God will put us in our place, and it will put him in his place. He's on the throne, amen. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. We're not telling the shepherd what to do, but the shepherd's telling us what to do. Amen. And so we see a reproved people here. They don't fear him. They've come near to judgment. You say, preacher, I've heard you preach against shacking up before and being together, not being married. You want to know why I preach that? Because it's in the Bible. I've heard you preach against sodomy. You want to know why I preach that? Because it's in the Bible. Judgment's coming one day, friend. You listen to me. You want to know why I'm preaching against drunkenness? You want to know why I'm preaching against sin? Because there's a Savior that's against sin. And there's judgment coming one day after a while. Beloved, listen. Not only those sins that we talk about there that's real easy to see, but what about the strife? What about the anger? What about the evil speaking? What about the man that's living out here this morning and he wouldn't raise his hand? He pays his bills. I'm telling you what's the truth. He's a good moral man. He's been married to the same woman for 50 years. And I'm going to tell you something right now, but he don't fear God. Listen to me, that's what the Bible says. He don't fear God. He's not in the house of God. He's not been born again. He don't believe there's a day coming, beloved, when judgment's coming. I'm telling you, the only way that judgment will pass over you and I is if we get under that judgment that passed upon the Lord Jesus at Calvary. That's the only way we can escape the judgment of God. Jesus took our place. What a blessing it is this morning, beloved. What a blessing. A reproved people. You say a blessing? I'll say this to you. I've been saved and preaching for over 30 years. I started preaching about 30 days after I say about because I don't know exactly. It's real close. You say, how'd you get to preaching? I went down between two pews praying and come up preaching. I've been preaching ever since. I don't say that boastfully. I just went down there to pray for America. That pastor that was standing in front of us asked us to pray for this country. And I went down praying, come up preaching. I've been preaching ever since. I know God put his hand on me, called me to preach the precious word of God. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Only God knows. Brother Thurman, only God knows where I would be without him reproving me along the way and straightening me out when I needed to be straight. You know what? I'm not a real smart fella. You don't have to listen to me preach long to understand that. But I figure if a preacher needs straightening out every once in a while, there might be some people that do too. And we ought to thank God we have a Savior that doesn't leave us to ourselves, that comes along every once in a while and reproves us. Amen. I see a refining process, a reproved people, but I see a returning people. Let me just say this. God has not changed. Listen, the Bible said, I am the Lord. I change not. God's not changed concerning judgment or sin. God's not changed concerning Jesus. He's still the only way to be born again, the only Savior of the world. And he's not changed concerning justification. You still must be born again. But there's something else God's not changed about. And that's giving his people an opportunity to return. The children of Israel, they got sideways. How many knows what I mean? I'm in the country, aren't I? They got sideways with God over and over and over and over again. And God would allow them to get straightened out and return. Well, guess what this Bible is? It's full of people returning to the God of heaven. Amen. Getting things straightened out. Watch what the Bible said, even in verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Here's the invitation. God said, return unto me. And I will return unto you. I want to tell you something today, beloved. Listen, it's no shame. Listen, the Bible said in the book of Psalms, he knows that we're frail. He knows that we're just dust. He knows. It's no shame to beloved, for a season, get away or to get cold. But I'll tell you what a shame is. It's to have the God of heaven invite you to come back to that place of warmth. And you keep standing over there in the cold. Beloved, he's inviting his people right here. Return unto me. You return to me. I'll return to you. And beloved, we'll get this right. Amen. I don't know if you've ever experienced this in life. But beloved, if you ever get sideways with somebody in this world and make things right, I believe it's a joyous moment. It's a wonderful time. Amen. If it's a husband and a wife, can I get an amen right there, husbands? Rest of them's afraid, Brother Ralph. Amen. I'm telling you, if you ever have a cross word with somebody you love and you just make that right, amen, it's a joyous time. And it's a joyous time for the child of God that says, you know what? I hear somebody saying, come on back. I can't believe he's saying it, Brother Kenny. Come on back, son. Come on back. But I'm going back. And when I return unto him, he returns unto me. A returning people. The prodigal one day came to himself, and you know what he said? He said, I'm just going to stay down here a little longer with these pigs. I like these pigs. That ain't what he said, is it? When he came to himself, he said, oh, he began to think about home. You know what would be good for us in 2019? Get our mind on home. This world ain't our home, amen. It'd be good to see some of God's people that's really been born again just come home. Amen. Get back in that place where you can raise a hand up and say, praise the Lord. Or where you can shout the victory. Amen. Be a blessing. Listen to me. The Bible said that prodigal, he came to himself and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up. I'm going to rise. That's what he had to do first, just get up. And he said, I'm going to go back to my father's house. How many hired servants of my father? Here I am starving to death, eating with the pigs. And how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? He said, it would be better to just go back and be a servant than to stay here with the pigs. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, it ought to bless us to know that God allows us to return. Okay, we've got a refining process. a reproved people. This is written for our admonition, a returning people. But then number four, there's a robbing people. Look at it here in the Word of God. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Look at verse 8. The Bible said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and in offerings. He said, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour out on you a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. Now watch this. Everybody listen to me carefully. God knows my motive. I'll share this with you in just a moment about my motive. But I want to just say this. There's a people here that's robbing God. God said he wrote this for our admonition. Somebody going to holler, well, you're in that Old Testament, that New Testament, don't say nothing about tithing. Ain't that right? They're going to holler that. But they're wrong. That's exactly right. What did you say, preacher? What did that New Testament say? Let me just give you a couple verses of Scripture real quickly. I believe this is important. The Bible tells us, beloved, about tithing, to bring the tithes. He said he would not devour rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And I believe when God said over there in the book of Hebrews, he said it's a witness. He said, woe unto you. In Hebrews, he said, here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them. Talking about Christ, our eternal priest, and of whom it is witness that he liveth. In Luke chapter 11, he said, woe unto you, Pharisees, you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and Passover judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. This is just a couple of passages. Let me say this. The principle is taught in the Word of God. And I'll just give you an illustration this morning. This would be the talk of the town. Somebody comes into Bible Way Baptist Church. We've taken measures to try to secure the church. You have now, after the service starts, you have to ring a buzzer. You have to be let in. Somebody's going to be looking at you on a camera before you're let in. The doors are locked around the property to try to keep out that we want out. Say amen. Somebody said, well, I'm against that wall down there. I'm against the nation having a wall. Let me just say this. Just leave your door open. Don't worry about a lock. Don't worry about a security system. Amen. You'll get this after a while. Somebody come in that church, it would be in the paper, it would be on the radio, it'd be on the television. Somebody come through them doors back here, brother, and rob our church. There's your pastor. Take your watch off. Take your ring off. Take your billfold out. Dump it. Dump it. Dump it. He goes right pew to pew. Gets our rings. Gets our jewelry. Gets you ladies' diamonds and jewelry. Get your wedding bands. All you men, that $100 you got in that secret place in your wallet, you have to get it out, amen, and put it in there. Or it would be the talk of the town tomorrow. But let me say this to you. Listen to me carefully. All over Kingsport, all over Northeast Tennessee, all over Tennessee, all over the United States of America, there are going to be people come and go in a church today that are going to rob God, and nothing is going to be said about it. You say, preacher, you got a lot of nerve. No, 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 no. Listen, now here I'm going to get to your motive. I don't want your money. I want you to be blessed when you stand before God. It's not my money. It's not your money. It's God's money. And the day you figure that out, beloved, it'll be the day the blessings of God will flow in your heart and life. And it's not all about material blessings. Amen. It's just about knowing, hey, I obeyed him. Look what he gave for me. I'm telling you, beloved friend, I believe with all of my heart, God wrote this for our admonition and for our learning. Let me say this to you. You could preach that in a lot of places and you wouldn't get an amen, you'd get an oh me. But I'm going to tell you this. I want every one of our people to stand before God and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You want to tell you something? Beloved, where your heart is, amen, it's going to be revealed through your pocketbook. Where your treasure is, the Word of God said there, will your heart be also. Listen to me. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I don't know who tithes and who don't. Am I telling it right, Brother Gary? I don't have any idea who tithes and who don't. But I'm going to preach this book. If it lands in your lap, It'll have to land in your lap. Amen. I believe with all of my heart God wants you to be blessed. He wants your family to be blessed. God chose this way, beloved, not yard sales and bake sales and rummage sales to support the work of the living God and to support the missionaries. But God chose to raise up a church and support it with tithes and offerings among His people. I read some things. W.A. Criswell, he tells of an ambitious young man who told his pastor, he said, I'm promised God to tithe on my income. They prayed for God to bless his career. At that time, he was making $40 a week, and he was tithing $4. In a few years, his income increased, and he was tithing $500 per week. He called on the pastor to see if he could be released from his tithing promise. It was too costly now. The pastor replied, I don't see how you can be released from your promise. He said, but what we can do is ask God to make your income $40 a week once again. Amen. God wrote these things for our admonition, for our learning. And I believe with all of my heart, God allows us to return. And it's the grace of God. Beloved, there's people that's robbed God down through the years. They give God, listen to this little poem, Leftovers. Leftovers are such humble things. We would not serve to a guest, and yet we serve them to our Lord, who deserves the very best. We give to Him leftover time, stray minutes here and there. Leftover cash we give to Him, such few coins as we can spare. We give our youth unto the world, to hatred, lust, and strife. Then in declining years we give to Him the remnant of our life. Had nor to be that way. Say amen. It's that way in a lot of people's lives, but it had nor to be that way. A young boy, his mama gave him a dollar and a quarter, and he said he was going to get him something for himself, and he was going to give God. He was going to give one of them to God, and he was going to get something for himself. His mama said, after church, said, which one of them did you give to God? He said, well, mama, he said, I was all ready to give that dollar. He said, but about that time, mama, he said, that preacher said, God loves a cheerful giver. He said, mama, I could give that quarter a whole lot more cheerful than I could that dollar. Will a man rob God? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to get into this very much. I'm going to get on with the message, finish it up. I guess 2 years ago in January, our home was robbed. I cannot describe to you the feeling of violation. Jewelry that Eve's mother had given her, and Eve's grandmother had given her, jewelry that I had given her since we'd been married, all of it, I said all of it, gone. It was. I just wonder, I'm not going to say anything else, I just wonder, Brother Ralph, if I have the capacity as a man that God created in His own image, Brother Don, to feel violated when somebody robs me, I wonder if our Heavenly Father doesn't feel violated when people rob Him. My motive this morning is not me, it's not this church. I hope every one of you comes back. But if you never come back to this church, I want to say this to you. If you want to hear God say, well done, you need to take this message to heart this morning. Because He loves you. I preached on Wednesday night and came across a scripture. He that spared not His own Son, how shall He not freely with Him give us all things? Amen. Beloved, He's a good God this morning. Brother Ralph, I believe that a reason a lot of men will bypass this scripture, and many, on the sin and the things that's going on in our generation, is because they're afraid that somebody will stop giving. Let me say this to you. I thank God for our church, and you all do a great job of taking care of your pastor. But I'm going to tell you, the pastor that's going to stand for God never really looks at it as coming from his people. He looks at it as coming from his Father. Now listen to me carefully. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying it was coming from the Father before I got here. It's coming from the Father. How many knows what I'm talking about? That's why we can stand without fear, without compromise, without favor, and say to a group of people, sin is still sin, and robbing God is still robbing God. In this generation that we live in, God has not changed. The last thing I want to give you, Brother Howard Robinson, did you know him, Brother Don? One of the sweetest men that ever walked in shoe leather. Very little education. But boy, God was on him. Brother Howard told me one time, he said, now, preacher, he said, a good sermon is like a sandwich. I never have forgot it. He said, you start a sandwich with a piece of bread. We done pretty good starting out, didn't we? He said, now in the middle, he said, that's where the meat and the mater and all that other stuff is. He said, you might have to get meaner than a junkyard dog in the middle of that sandwich. He said, but don't forget to lay another piece of bread. That's what that old man told me years ago that loved God. So here comes the second slice of bread. Are you ready for it? Look in the end of the chapter. Here we go. The second slice of bread. We see here that according to the word of God, beloved, there's a refining process. There's a reproved people, a returning people, a robbing people. But here it gets good. There's a remembered people. Watch this. In verse number 16, the Bible said, then they that feared the Lord, you know what I believe? I believe when Malachi spoke these words, some people listened. Some just put it to the side. Wherein have we robbed God? Why, we ain't robbed God. We ain't done nothing wrong. But some took it to heart. The Bible said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And glory to God. God just showed me something right there. Brother Rose, they weren't talking to the Lord when he heard it. They were talking to one another when he heard it. See it right there? The Bible said, watch this. It said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Let me just say this. That's the only two kinds of people there are in the world. Them that serve God and them that don't serve him. Oh, you say, I'm kind of half and half. No, you're not. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad. I'll give you a couple things real quickly. A remembered people. Why? Number one, they feared the Lord in verse number 16. Number two, they fellowshiped one with another. They spake often one to another. I've told some of our men this, especially our deacons. I thank God around our church. It don't matter if we get out at 12:15 or get out at 12:30. One time we got out at 12:45. I thank God that people aren't racing for the door. They still wanted to stand around. I've wondered sometimes on Sunday night if I shouldn't have went ahead and preached another hour. Amen. Sister Helen trying to lock this place up. She's wondering it too. Good problem to have, ain't it, Sister Helen? We don't want people just racing for the door. We want people. Brother Brian was apologizing because he was just fellowshipping and talking. The time got away from him. I'm glad it's that way. What I mean is this. Thank God for genuine fellowship among the people of God. I believe God listens and he likes it. He hearkens and he remembers it. Watch this now. They feared the Lord. They fellowship one with another, but they fellowshiped with the Lord. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? Look at the end of verse 16. They thought upon his name. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Thank God for a people, listen, that fellowship one with another because they fellowship with God. They love God's people because they love him. And then we see this in verse number 17. God delights in his people. He said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. God delivers his people. Look in verse 17. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then God, listen to me carefully. Please hear this well right here. God gives discernment to his people. Watch this. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Chance, I'm just using him. He's one of our young people. He's off in college now. I think are you living at home, Chance? You're living on the grounds over at the college over at Milliken. You know what? We need to pray for our young people, Chance and all, that God will give him discernment between the wicked. In other words, how many believes Chance is going to get all the way through college without ever trying to be pulled towards wickedness? He ain't got a chance of doing that. Say, oh, I didn't mean that's a pun, but... but really, that's not going to happen. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to say, hey, Chance. Hey, Chance. Am I right or am I wrong? And God gives us discernment to be able to tell, no, that ain't good. That ain't going towards my Heavenly Father. That's going away from my Heavenly Father. That ain't going towards what my mom and dad have taught me. That's going away from what my mom and dad have taught me. That's not going towards the Bible that I love, but it's going away from the Bible that I love. And God gives them discernment. We ought to pray for our young people. Even when they've got professors, people in higher learning standing up in front of them that's supposed to know everything. Help me. My brother had a good saying one time. He said, Rick, it's what you learn after you know everything that really counts. I'm going to tell you something. There is one that knows everything. He's in heaven. And he'll give us discernment if we'll ask him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I have a question for you this morning. Have I given you something to chew on? Actually, I didn't. God did. I've had this in my heart. And God didn't develop it till last night for over 3 weeks. And God said, it's time. So you'll have to take it up with him. Chew on it. Let God use it in your heart and in your life. Listen, if you're away, God said return. You're robbing God, God said quit doing that. Don't rob God. Because let me just say this to you. In essence, I'm not contradicting the Bible, but really you're robbing yourself. That's what you're doing. You're robbing yourself of the blessings of God in your life. God said, return. God said, when I see you fellowshipping one with another and fellowshipping with me, I'll remember that. I've got a book. I'm making notes. I'm going to put it in that book of remembrance. I'm just glad you come this morning. Sister Becky, play me one verse. One verse of an invitation. If you're here and you need to get right with God, get right with God. If you need to be saved, get saved. If there's something you need to make right with somebody else, make it right with somebody else. If I sit here this morning and I've been robbing God, I'd run to an altar and I'd say, God, I'm sorry. Help me. If I was here this morning and I was away, I'd return. I'd come and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to come back. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. One verse. I hope you'll come. God's dealing with your heart. I hope you'll come. Would you come?